Today we want to discuss remembering to tell God thank you. Remember to tell God thank you. Remember to tell God thank you. Remember to tell God thank you. I'm going to come from today, Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. And the Bible says this: Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 13 says, And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So, verse 14 says, When he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, pay attention here, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God, to give glory to God? Except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Remember to tell God thank you. Saying thank you or having gratitude is a natural response to blessings, to protection, to love. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, we do not use gratitude to manipulate or control the will of God. In other words, we don't say thank you to get God to do something for us. Gratitude is not coerced or made up in our minds. Instead, gratitude is a joyful commitment of one's personality to God. See, if you are not a grateful person, then that gratitude will be hard-pressed to emerge from your character. What I'm saying is that some of us have a hard time saying thank you. We have a hard time acknowledging that God is doing some great things in our lives. We are resting on the idea, the thought process, that we are accomplishing these things on our own, that God is not really part of what we're doing, when in reality, God is in everything that we do. See, if you are not a grateful person, then that gratitude is going to be hard to emerge from your character. That is not to say that God cannot change you. But gratitude, my brothers and sisters, is part of who you are. In the Old Testament, gratitude was the only condition in which life could be enjoyed. Every aspect of creation gives evidence of God's lordship over all of life. The Hebrew people praised. They thank God for the magnificence of the universe. When they received good news, they thank God for his goodness and his actions. When they received bad news, they still thank God, trusting and believing that God is a just and righteous God. They thank God for his faithfulness to covenant promises. Am I talking to anybody here? They thank God for deliverance from enemies near and far. They thank God for deliverance from death. They thank God for forgiveness of sin, for answers to prayer. They thank God for compassion to those who were afflicted and oppressed. They thank God for executing justice and for his guidance. In fact, gratitude or thankfulness was such an integral part of Israel's religion that it often interrupted most ceremonies and customs. What I'm saying is, yeah, that's right. In the middle of service, they had a praise break. Woo, Lord have mercy. Just like today, they had praise breaks. They went in. Somebody stood up and said, "Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you." And in the middle of a ritual ceremony, in the middle of customs, in the middle of traditions, they begin to give God glory. They begin to shout. They begin to praise with music and dance. They sang the glory of God. They magnified God. They went in with God. In the middle of everything that was taking place, they didn't stop giving God glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that spirit of thanksgiving was part of their worship service. They, whatever it is that, hallelujah, God was doing, they celebrated God. They lifted up the name of the Lord. And some of us have to remember that God should always be told thank you. You see, in the New Testament, the object of thanksgiving is the love of God expressed in the saving work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the gift of grace and the opportunity to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." But because the expression of gratitude is tied so closely to the response of faith. Let me say that again. Let me make sure you get that. The expression of gratitude is tied so closely to the response of faith. In other words, hallelujah, if you have faith, then you don't have a problem giving God glory. If you have faith, you don't have a problem praising him during hard times. If you have a faith, then you can understand that it is necessary that you give God glory in every situation that you find yourself in. And so Paul encouraged believers to give thanks in all things. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In other words, I don't care what you find yourself in. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad it seems. I don't care how people talk about you. I don't care how they backstab you. I don't care how they lay you out in front of other people, how they front on you. I don't care how people act like they don't love you. You still, oh God, thank you. You still, oh God, Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I magnify your name. Lord, I lift you up. I don't care what you're going through. In everything, whether it's good or it's bad, whether you're happy or you're sad, whether you're broke or you have a pocket full of money, you, oh God, are praising everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God, because it's God's will that you're going through the process that you're going through. It's God's will that you're going through the situation that you're going through. I know it don't look good. It don't feel good. Your feelings are hurt, but God still is getting the glory. And every now and then you have to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me upright. Thank you for solidifying my stance. Thank you for being with me during hard times. Thank you for allowing me to give you glory. Thank you. I bless your name because you are worthy to be praised. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I would have lost my mind a long time ago. So I owe God a thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for healing my heart. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for saving my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my church family. I don't know what else that you're going through on today, but you owe God a praise. You owe him a thank you. You owe him your gratitude. You ought to say yes, Lord, because he's willing to be praised. If it had not been for the Lord, Lord, have mercy. Let me calm down. Hallelujah. Paul charged Christians to pray with thanksgiving. Even when you get on your knees, you ought to tell God, thank you. Even when you pray, at the beginning of your prayer should be a thank you. In the middle of your prayer should be a thank you. At the end of your prayer should be a thank you. And Paul was very particular, making sure that he charged every Christian to pray with thanksgiving in the name of Christ. So as we consider scripture on today, we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem through Samaria and Galilee. Now, this is very interesting because Samaria was a place that was not very welcoming to Jewish people. Jews and Samaritans did not allow the other into their cultic centers. Samaritans, my brothers and sisters, were treated as Gentiles. Marriages were forbidden between Jews and Samaritans. On the other hand, Jesus was from Galilee. 11 of his 12 disciples were from Galilee. Galilee is the backdrop for the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Most of the miracles Jesus did were done in Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount was in Galilee. Many of the women who ministered to Jesus after his death were from, you guessed it, Galilee. And so in verse 12, Jesus enters the village and is immediately approached by 10 lepers. They recognized Jesus because Jesus worked his miracles, a lot of them, in Galilee. So they recognize who Jesus is. They have seen his miracles, but they are keeping their distance. My God, today, they are social distancing. Yeah. Can I talk about it? They were diseased, and so they had to social distance themselves. But it did not stop them from approaching Jesus. Y'all ought to talk back to me. Somebody talk back to me. There are some of us, yes, we have to social distance. But don't let that social distance stop you from approaching Jesus. Mm-hmm. They recognize him as Master. They know who he is because they have seen his work. And so in verse 13, when they call out to him, they ask him immediately for mercy. Watch this now. They didn't ask for healing. They asked for mercy. Listen to this now. So it is possible that their situation could have been due to sin. My God. So they didn't ask for healing. They asked for mercy. So maybe their situation, hallelujah, had caused them to fall into a leprous state. My God, some of us have to be careful that you don't allow yourself to fall into a leprous state. What are you saying, preacher? Is that some of the things that you're doing behind closed doors are going to look bad on you out in public? My God, some of the things that you are doing and nobody else knows about but you and God are going to look bad on you. They're going to begin to wear on on your skin. It's going to be part of your scalp. Your clothes are not going to fit correctly because you are in a situation where you shouldn't be. And that's just the truth of the matter. I know some of us don't want to hear it. I know we want to hear hope. We want to hear that everything is going to be all right. But every now and then you need to understand that your actions done in the dark will show absolutely in the light. And if you've been acting up in the dark, then it's going to come out in the light that you've been doing something that you shouldn't have been doing. So verse 14, look at verse 14. I'm not going to be long today. I'm going to be trying to get out of here. When Jesus sees them, when he sees them and they have approached him and Jesus acknowledges them, whew, Jesus cuts right to the quick. He wasn't making any small talk. He gives them direct instruction. Watch this now. He wasn't preoccupied with anything else. He wasn't preoccupied with anyone else. He gets right to the issue and he gives them, watch this now, a faith walk. So he says to them that if you want to be made whole, then you have to follow what I say. My God, if you want to come out of this, you have to do exactly what I say. And so the instruction was that he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. The Bible is interesting here because it states that as they were made clean, as they were on their way to the priest, they were made clean. Now, wait a minute. Not when they arrived to the priest, not when the priest laid eyes on them, as they went to the priest. So between them leaving Jesus and on their way to the priesthood, God healed them and they were still in eyesight of Jesus. What are you saying? Is that a lot of times our healing is dependent on whether or not we can follow instruction. Our healing is dependent on whether or not we can give God glory. Our healing is dependent on whether or not we can do what he's told us to do when he tells us to do it. The instruction was to turn around and to go see the priest. And by the time they turn around and take a few steps, they begin to look at their skin and their skin is made clean. They begin to look at their clothes and their clothes is made clean. They begin to look at everything. They begin to look at each other and say, brother, you look all right. They begin to look at each other and say, brother, you look healed. And they were not even out of eyesight of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah. Yeah, some of us, you're looking for a miracle, but you don't want to follow instruction. Your miracle is in you following God's instruction, that if you can do what he said for you to do, then watch your miracle manifest in your life. The reason some of your miracles haven't come to pass, because you may not be following instruction. The Bible says that as they turn around and begin to make their way to the priest, they were made clean. What are you saying, preacher? They had to walk by faith at the word of Jesus. They had to walk by faith at the word of Jesus. Let me pull to the curb. Let me get real personal here. I know some of us are going through some tough situations. I know some of us have had to endure some hard times. I know some of us are financially challenged right now, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make ends meet. Well, let me tell you, some ends ain't supposed to meet. That's why it's the end, but you're going through nonetheless. I want to tell you that if you follow the Lord's instruction, I guarantee you he will make things whole. He will make things all right. He will bring it to pass. If you do what you're supposed to do and you give God glory and you follow instructions and you get in his word and you get on your knees, I dare you to watch God work some things out. I dare you to allow God to lift you up. I dare you to watch God bring it to pass. I dare you to give God glory in the midst of the storm. Don't stop in the storm, but praise him in the storm. Don't stop in the midst, but praise him in the midst. Allow God to work some things out, and everything will be all right. Oh, I give God glory this morning that he didn't allow me to stop when it looked like people had gave up on me, when it looked like I was about to lose my life. He didn't allow me to stop. He allowed me to keep on going. He allowed me to give him glory. He allowed me to say, yes, Lord. He allowed me to bless his name because he's worthy to be praised. Follow instruction and watch God do it.